waiting is an art that few of us have mastered. You got kids at your house? How they doing waiting for Christmas? I have a hunch if you were to take a look at the packages under your tree, you'll see a few corners torn. They're peeking a little bit, and they can't wait until Christmas gets here. I'd like for us to go to the scripture today, the Christmas story. It's in Luke chapter 2, verses 22 through 32, about a man who's having to wait. He's waiting on a promise from God, and he gives us a really beautiful picture of how we wait for God's promises to be brought to fruition in our lives. This guy is who I would call an unsung hero. We have men and women like this in all of our lives. They appear for a very short period of time. They make a contribution to our life, and then they're gone. And we're like that as well. We are going through our life. There'll be seasons when we will make a contribution to somebody, then life moves on in separate ways. Yet there's been a contribution made that made a difference. History is like that. The history of our nation is like that. We have thousands of unsung heroes, a generation or two or three or four or five in front of us. We don't even know who they are, but they, through their lives, made a great contribution, and we are still living under the light of their blessing. And so this is a guy like that. This guy, nothing is said about him before this passage. Nothing is said about him after this passage. But he is here as a sign to the fact of who Jesus Christ actually was. So we have things that we wait for. Are we there yet? You heard that one, I'm sure. When is this raise going to come through? When is that career move going to happen? When am I going to find that right one for me to marry? When am I going to get my finances in order? When is this going to happen? We're just kind of waiting and wondering, when is it going to happen? What do we do while we're waiting? Well, I will tell you, sometimes we're waiting for our personal desires to be fulfilled. And there's nothing wrong with having personal desires, but it's a little different than having a promise from God, because our personal desires are shifting. They can move around a little bit. And then we do have promises from God. We feel like God has spoken to us. He's given us a promise, and we're waiting, and it's just waiting and waiting. What do you do while you're waiting? Sometimes we have a tendency to help God out. You ever done that? Okay, God, I'm waiting for this. I'm tired of waiting, so I'm going to pull a few levers, push a button or two, manipulate something just a little bit to help you bring your promise to pass. Well, let me tell you, that's a good way to get in trouble. And I'll also tell you that God does not need our assistance to bring His promises to pass. And so this guy is waiting, and he is waiting, and he is waiting. Let me kind of set the scene for you. Joseph and Mary bringing Jesus Christ from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, which is not too far, and they're coming according to the law of Israel. The firstborn was considered set apart to God, and to redeem the firstborn, you would come and bring a sacrifice. And so they're coming, and it says that they're bringing a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons to sacrifice to redeem their firstborn son. Now, that was what a poor person would bring. Others who had means would bring other sacrifices. So that tells us that the wise men had not yet come, because they brought some treasures. They would have had other things to sacrifice at that point. So they're fulfilling the law. They're bringing their son to redeem. And so they are honoring the word of God. Now, doesn't it make sense that when God was looking for a man and a woman to be the earthly parents of His Son, Jesus Christ, knowing everything that was going to happen, that He would choose parents that would honor Him? Wouldn't that be important, you think? And so He found these two, Joseph and Mary. They were committing, honoring the Word, to honoring God, and it was to a couple who was willing to honor God. Now, I will tell you this. As a young family, as wherever you may be, When God's looking for somebody to put His hand on and bless, He's looking for somebody who will honor Him in all things. And so that should be a goal for you and me, to be the kind of person who would honor and obey the Lord Jesus Christ and the Scripture. And so this guy's name is Simeon. He's been waiting on a promise from God. I call him an unsung hero. So let's go to the passage beginning in verse 22 of Luke chapter 2. It says, "When the time came for the purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him, Jesus, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." Then a promise fulfilled. Isn't it great when God comes through? When the promise has been made, and then, bang, it happens. So here's Simeon. This is what happens to him. But before the promise was fulfilled, he had a waiting period. And there are incredible things we can learn from him as he was waiting. The first thing I would tell you is that he was in the right position. So we got to be in the right position before God. Verse 25 kind of gives us the position, and there's three pieces to it. He had to be in a position to, one, hear the promise, to know what it was, and then he had to have the patience to wait. And I think it's easier to hear it than it is to wait for it. But so while he's waiting, notice he is described as being righteous and devout. Two real churchy words, right? And they're scary words. Somebody says to you, "You need to be righteous and devout." You think, "I don't know that I can do that." And then you think, "I don't even know what that means." Well, righteous, the word literally means straight. And so we're talking about somebody who is righteous. You're talking about somebody who is living a straight life. In other words, living a life that is honoring to the Lord Jesus Christ. A righteous life. The word devout sometimes is translated holy, and it literally means to be set apart. Now, holy is really a freaky word. If you say, holy, I'm supposed to be holy. Well, the word holy means you've just set your part of life for God. You have told God, "Help yourself to my life." And so that is what Simeon had done. He was living a life according to the law that they had at the time, and he was righteous in that sense, and he was separated, he'd set his life apart to the Lord, and that is how he's waiting. Let me talk to you for a couple minutes about those two words in our context. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, there was an exchange made. And the exchange was, you had a pile of sin in your life. And so you exchanged that sin when you gave your life to Christ. You gave that to Him. And he took it. That's what happened when he was at the cross. He became sin. And what he exchanged for your sin was his righteousness. So if you can grasp this truth, it'll set you free. I promise you that. And so in position already right now, if you know Jesus Christ, you are clothed, the Bible, you're wearing his righteousness. So in one sense, in position, in Christ, you're already there. Man, that is nice, isn't it? You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work at it. In position, you're there. You've been given the cloak of righteousness, Jesus Christ's righteousness. And now the challenge is for us to work out in practice what God has made true in position. You with me? So in position, we're already righteous. And now he says, work that out. Live it. Make it a reality in the way that you're living. Live in a way that's honoring God. Live in a way that is straight. Live in a way that is obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you do so, you would qualify, as did Simeon, as being a man or a woman or a student who is righteous and devout. Now, I will tell you, it's very difficult to wait on a promise from God if you're not in the right position. You'll get very impatient. You'll lose heart. You may give it up. You may quit. You may turn away. So righteous and devout. And then it says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And you may say, well, what in the world does that even mean? Well, he was waiting for the nation of Israel to be restored. More than likely, he was coming at it from a political viewpoint. Politics then weren't much different than politics now. If you got your hope in Nancy Pelosi, it's in the wrong place. Amen. If you got your trust in the Don, President Trump, it's in the wrong place. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And so politics, he's thinking, we're going to get a leader who's going to come and restore our nation to its former glory, like the kingship of David and Solomon. We're going to overthrow the Romans, and our nation is again going to become the greatest nation on the planet. And we're going to have a great leader who's come and bring that past. So he's looking for the consolation of Israel. He really doesn't understand what this consolation is going to mean. We have a hint of what he actually comes to understand, where he says, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people, Israel. Now, in case you're wondering, we may have a few in here who have Jewish background. But you are a Gentile. Did you know that? Did you know you're a Gentile? Look at your person next to you and say, I'm a Gentile. Go ahead and do that. Just to identify yourself. I'm a Gentile. And so Jesus Christ was coming, yes, to bring fulfillment to Israel as God's chosen people from antiquity. But man, he was coming to open the door for you and me. Man, I'm sure glad he came, aren't you? And so he's waiting for the consolation of Israel is an opening of the way of salvation to everybody. Everybody. I mean everybody. Red and yellow, black and white. Right? Everybody. And that's the kind of people we want in our church. Everybody. Amen. And so he opened the door. So what that tells us is that sometimes the answer from God to us comes in an unexpected way. So you and I have claimed a promise from God, and we have our expectation of how that's going to work out. Well, God may have another way, and it may surprise us. And His way is always better than our way. Amen. And so, as a young preacher, I'm still a young preacher, I think. As a younger preacher, I had dreams, goals, aspirations, armed with some promises of God as to what was going to happen. And God sent me to Forney. You get what I'm saying? So it wasn't that I didn't like you. It wasn't that I didn't like Forney. But I thought something else. And so I griped to God a lot about that. And one day, we hadn't done anything really as far as buildings, still downtown. I sat in my office, had my Bible open, and I was griping at God. And that's not wrong to gripe at God. You know that? You're not going to knock Him off the throne. He's not going to slap you around. Because you might as well, because He knows what's in your mind and heart already. So I'm complaining about my lot in life and how it didn't match up with what I thought God had given. And then it was like God just spoke. And He said, I'm giving you the desire of your heart right in front of your face, and you don't even know it. And I said, you know, Lord, close the Bible at that point. I said, you're right. You fulfill this like you want. And man, look what God's done around here. It's amazing. And some of the churches where I thought I need to go and be the pastor, we are a larger church than they are today. So I'm telling you, God can sometimes fulfill His promises to us in ways that we didn't anticipate He would. It's what He did with Simeon. It's what He's done with me. It's what He'll do with all of us. And then there's one other piece to this positioning before God. It says the Holy Spirit was upon him. And that's probably the most key issue. He's living in step with the Holy Spirit. And so that gets us on the inside of what God is doing. So we talk about the Holy Spirit. You may say, well, what does that even mean? How does that work? Well, here's what happens. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, we already talked about the exchange that happens. Your sins are forgiven and you get His righteousness. And that's a lot, isn't it? You're given the gift of eternal life. Man, that is an incredible thing that happens. But God does not leave us here just to live through this life on our own. He comes to live within us. And so we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. And so it is the Holy Spirit, God, the essence of Christ, who dwells within us. And the Holy Spirit within us encourages us, connects us to the Lord, connects us to one another, helps us understand the Bible, teaches us truth, and sometimes in a very subjective way, leads and directs our steps and our decisions. And so Simeon was a man who was being led and guided by the Holy Spirit who was upon him. Now, if you have come to know Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is within you. Now, you can quench the Holy Spirit where you can't hear from God. You can grieve the Holy Spirit where you're not hearing anything from God. And the way we grieve or quench the Holy Spirit is by disobedience, by sin, by rebellion, by ignoring Him. And so all those things can cause the Holy Spirit kind of to just be quiet in our lives. And so that's what's happened to a lot of us. We hadn't heard from God in a long time because we've grieved His Spirit by our rebellion and sin. And so Simeon was a guy, the Holy Spirit had free rein and access to his life, and so he's able to understand the promise. So, as we're waiting, we need to get in position in Jesus Christ, practical and in position, get in step with the Holy Spirit, and in doing so, we'll be able to hear a promise and understand the promise from God, and He'll give us the patience as He works it out. Another thing I would ask you to note from Simeon is that he did get a promise from God. Look at verse 26. It said, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he had this promise. God gave him a promise. Basically, Simeon, you're going to live until you see the Messiah. You're going to see him. And you're not going to die till you see him. And so he didn't give him a timetable. He gave him a promise. Don't you wish God would give us a timetable? Okay, in February of this year, your ship's going to come in. In March of this year, you as a single man are going to meet and fall in love and marry Miss America. You could make it to March, couldn't you? For some of you guys, it's not marry Miss Paris, it's you get your first date. I don't know how that works. But God doesn't give us timetables. He gives us a promise. And so Simeon's got a promise. And he's heard it, he's walking in it, and he's going about his life day by day with that mountain there, a shadow. He's living in the shadow of that promise that he's going to live until he sees the Messiah. Now, Simeon's getting old. And when you get older, you get aches and pains. And your health declines, your strength declines. So I'm sure that Simeon was saying, God, I've got this promise, but I'm getting old. You sure? But he just keeps about his routine. He just stays at it, righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation, waiting for the promise, doing his obligations as he's waiting for the promise to come. Now, let me just say to you that a promise is only as good as the one who gives it. I know some people, if they were to make a promise to me, I would think, right, that'll never happen. You know some people like that? They're just not dependable. The promise is only as good as the person's word. I know some other people, if they give me a promise, it's good as gold. Man, I'm telling you, it's going to happen because they made a promise. Their word is strong. And so, think about this. If God gives us a promise, how good is that promise? Man, it is incredible. And so, he's given this promise. And so, when God gives you a promise, I want to tell you, it's going to happen even if the wait seems like a really long time. So, today you may be waiting on a promise from God. Maybe something in your daily life. Maybe something related to your personal life. Could be any number of things. But God's given you a promise. Listen, hang on to it. It is as good as gold. Some of you still use cash, right? Do any of you use cash? I know some of you still use cash. That dollar bill or that $5 bill or that 10 or that 20 or that 100 or whatever you have is called a promissory note, right? And so it is worth the face value. You are promised that it's worth that much by the government of the United States of America. And that's a pretty strong promise, isn't it? If the government fails, your money's no good. Some of you are still holding on to Confederate money. That money's no good. Why? Because the Confederacy doesn't exist anymore. It failed. And so, God has given us a promise. And as long as God is God, that promise is good. And it's going to happen in your life and in mine. So live in the shadow of the promise. Don't give up on it. Now, here's something that Simeon may have known, but he didn't know the details. God was at work the whole time. Simeon's going day by day, doing his thing, thinking about the promise that's going to happen. Don't know when. Before I die, I'll see the Messiah. He goes about his daily activity. He doesn't know that an angel had appeared to a woman named Elizabeth and said, you're going to have a son. He's going to be a forerunner of the Messiah. He didn't know that. He didn't know that an angel had appeared to Mary and said, Mary, you're going to have a son. He's going to be the Messiah. He's going to name him Jesus. He's going to save his people from their sin. He didn't know that. But God was working it. He was getting the promise. He was getting ready to fulfill it. He didn't know about their trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem. He didn't know about the no room in the inn. He didn't know about the shepherds coming. He didn't know any of that. But God was at work. Now listen, in your life and mine, God is at work out there in ways we don't even know. And God is not obligated to let us in on it. We'd like to be let in on it. We'd like to know, well, God, you're working in this guy's life, and you're working in that gal's life, and this one, and you're going to bring all this together, and it just doesn't work that way. But God is always at work. And so he is at work here, and so Simeon is just going about his life. So let me just tell you, stay true, stay faithful, day by day. Maybe it gets monotonous, maybe just stay true, stay faithful, because God is working and his promise is good. Now, God was also always speaking. And you know what? God is still speaking today. Always. You say, well, how's that? I'm not hearing it. Well, here's where he primarily speaks. He speaks to us in the Bible. If you're not hearing anything from God, then you're probably not reading your Bible. If you think, well, God isn't speaking to me. Yeah, he's speaking. It's right here. It's available. Some of it's in black print. Some of it's in red print. God speaks through His Word. If you want to get a word from God, if you want to find promises from God, you'll find them here. I'll just give you one quick one. One promise, He said, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. That's a really good promise, isn't it? It's in the Bible. You can count on it. And so if you call upon the Lord today, or if you have in the past, God's promise is, I will save you. I will forgive you of your sin. I will give you eternal life. I'll come into your life. I will do that. That is my promise to you if you call to me. So it's never going to happen where somebody says, oh God, will you save me? And God says, I don't think so. Because He's given us a promise. And so here's where God is speaking. He's speaking. Sometimes He speaks to us through other people. Do you know that? And I would tell our students, God has a tendency to speak to us through our parents. You know, I would tell you this, just a side street. You ought to listen to your parents. You know why? They love you more than anybody else on the planet. You say, they don't love me because they won't let me have my thing. Yes, they love you. They want to protect you. They want what's best for you. And so, man, go with the flow. God speaks to us through people sometimes. God will speak to us in a worship service. I don't know how many times we've been in a worship service and I'll see somebody afterwards and they say, oh, Brother Jim, God really spoke to me. I said, what did he say? And they'll talk to me about some stuff and they'll walk off and I'll think to myself, I said nothing about that. But God speaks. There's a dynamic at work as the Spirit speaks. And so we are able to hear Him when we're in that right position. You see how it all fits together? We're seeking Him to be righteous and devout like Simeon. We're walking in step with the Spirit. We're in a position where we will actually hear God when He speaks into our life. And if we're not in a position, God will be speaking, but we're not hearing it. And that's when we're on our own, and that's when the issues come. Third thing I would say to you about Simeon, he had a preoccupation with God. He'd made a purposeful commitment. It was not just an accident that he was in the right position. Somewhere in his life, he made a choice, a movement of his will, where he said to God, I am purposely and willfully making a decision that I am going to walk before you in humility and in faith and in obedience. God, he said, I'm giving you access to help yourself to my life. So he had this preoccupation with God. He had made this surrender of his life to God. And so he's now walking. And I will tell you, it is an amazing thing what God can do in anybody's life. What God can do through a small thing. He can make it into something really big if we're just available. And so, none of us have a whole lot to give to God, do we? But I'll tell you, when we give what we have, then He can do great things in our lives. And so he had a purposeful commitment. I remember years ago, we had a young man who sensed that God was calling him into vocational ministry. And so he talked to me about it and talked to some others. He went home and told his parents. And they said, no, you don't want to do that. They said, man, there's no future in that. You want to make something out of your life. You don't want to get lost into some kind of ministry thing. Well, they talked him out of it. He doesn't live here anymore. His parents don't either, but man, he missed it, didn't he? And then there was a kid. Man, he got on fire for God. His dad set him down and said, son, don't go to seed over this God stuff. It'll mess your life up. The worst advice a dad could ever give to his kid. I want to tell you, we ought to go to seed on this God stuff. Because that's where the life is. That's where the life is. Simeon went to seed on the God stuff, and he got this promise. Now, I will tell you this. We're getting ready to finish. There's already a lot of fulfilled promises. that are in front of us. And they're ours for the taking. Some we don't have to wait on. You do not have to wait to be saved. Did you know that? You don't have to wait another second to be saved. The provision is there. It's yours. You can do that today. You don't have to wait for that. And I would say, if you've never trusted Christ, don't wait anymore. You don't have to wait to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be controlled by the Spirit. You don't have to wait on that. The Spirit has come. He's here. He's a willing partner. You have to wait on that. You don't have to wait to find a place and a people that you can plug your life in and do life together and make a difference together in this world. You don't have to wait on that. You don't have to wait. So I would just encourage you today to see God move in your life, to see some stuff happen. You move toward God with this unqualified commitment. And I guarantee you, you'll see God begin to do things in your life. He may bring something out of the blue. He may bring something to fruition you've been waiting on a long time. But trust Him. And so we go back to Simeon. He's waiting for the Messiah's first appearance. And we see how he's waiting. We're not waiting on that anymore. We're waiting for his second appearance, for his return. And so what do we do while we're waiting for that? We've been waiting as a church of Jesus Christ for about 2,000 years. That's a long time to wait. That's longer than I had to wait on my family to get ready when they were little kids. That's waiting. Waiting. But as we're waiting, we're not just sitting here doing nothing waiting. We're in and out day by day sharing the gospel. Day by day praying, day by day walking before God, day by day taking the gospel as far as we can all across the planet, day by day, day by day, day by day. Because one day it's going to be just like Simeon. Man, he got up that morning, a day like any other day. I don't even know if he thought about the promise that day. He went to the temple to do his duties. Wasn't expecting anything. There comes this little family. Poor looking husband, wife, and baby. And the Spirit of God says, that's him. And I think Simeon said, what? That can't be him. Peasants. That can't be him. Then another time, that's him. Don't you love that painting behind me? The moment the promise got fulfilled. Doesn't that catch the moment? And so the day will come when the Lord will come back. We may not be expecting it, but it's going to happen. And it's going to be an awesome moment. Now, let me just say this, that isn't that kind of the way you felt when you embraced Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Couldn't that be you in that picture? And I will tell you this, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, that picture can be yours today. Yours today. So, we're going to sing in just a moment, worship and invitation. Got staff who'll be right here at the front. Some things we got to wait for, but you do not have to wait if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, a choice of your will. Don't wait anymore. Make your way to one of our staff and just say, I'm ready to make my choice. I'm ready to give my life to Christ, to let Him help Himself to me. Let me just tell you, this would be a great day for you to not wait on joining a church family. Not a church, but a family. As I've said before, there's a lot of people that visit for a long, 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 long time. And I've talked to several who joined after 2 or 3 years of visiting. I said, what took you so long? And they said, well, we was waiting for a good sermon. I give you all I got today. Don't wait anymore. You have to wait anymore. Why wait? Some of you are holding back from God. You know what He said to you. You sense it in your spirit and you're fighting Him. You're fighting Him. Quit. Quit fighting. It's no use. You can't win that one. He's not going to let you go. So why don't you go ahead and step into where God wants you to be. Now listen, God may be waiting on you. We talk about us waiting on God. Maybe God's waiting on you. He's got a storm of blessings. He's waiting on you to make that commitment to Him. And when you do, man, it's going to happen. So don't you make God wait any longer. And don't you wait on Him. So, today, give your life to Christ. Today, join our church. Today, make the commitment. I am going to step in obedience to that thing that's in front of me. God's not going to have to wait on me any longer. I'm giving Him full access to my life. Let's stand together, and as we worship, I encourage you to not make God wait on you any longer. Staff are here at the front. Please come. They'll help you make your decision as you trust Jesus Christ. This worship, you come. Don't wait on God. Don't make God wait on you. Would you come right now as we worship?